ہم کو گرانٹ ڈونیٹ کرنا چاہیے مسجد. السلام علیکم مولانا. دیز آر گرانٹ دیٹ مام ڈزنٹ نیڈ.
If you just put them on the side for now, meters after Salah, inshallah.
Where shall I put it?
Put it in the window. On the window. Meters after Salah.
Okay. I come and see you after, or just leave it there?
Just meet me after Salah.
Come after.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله بغير علم ويتخذها هزوا أولئك لهم عذاب مهين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. انشاء اللہ تعالی انگریزی میں گفتگو شروع کرنے سے پہلے میں آپ حضرات کے سامنے ایک ایسی سوچ شیئر کروں جو چند دن پہلے میرے ذہن میں آئی تھی. نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا فرمان ہے کہ روزے دار کے لیے دو خوشی کے مواقع ہیں. خوشی کا پہلا موقع وہ ہے جو اسے افطار کے وقت ملتا ہے, اور دوسرا وہ ہے جو اسے اپنے پروردگار سے ملنے کے وقت حاصل ہوگا. اگر ہم روزے دار کو دیکھیں تو مکمل دن میں ممکن ہے کہ اس کے چہرے پر بشاشت نہ ہو, اس کے چہرے پر بھوک کے آثار ہو, پیاس کے آثار ہو. اور یہ بھی ہمارے یہاں معروف ہے کہ ہنگری من از این انگری من, وہ غصے میں بھی شاید ہوگا. لیکن افطار کے وقت کے آتے ہی, داخل ہوتے ہی, جب یہ آدمی اپنے منہ میں وہ کھجور رکھتا ہے تو یہ حشاش بشاش ہو جاتا ہے. یہ ہے پہلی خوشی جو اللہ تعالی نے ہمیں دنیاوی زندگی میں ہی عطا فرما دی ہے. اور دوسری خوشی وہ ہے جو ہمیں انشاءاللہ تعالی اللہ تعالی سے ملنے کے وقت حاصل ہوگی. ہم اللہ تعالی سے دعا گو ہے کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی صرف ہمیں اس حوالے سے دنیاوی خوشی نصیب نہ فرمائے, بلکہ ہمیں اخروی خوشی بھی نصیب فرمائے. روزہ اصل میں پرہیزگاری کا نام ہے. روزے کا معنی یہ ہے کہ آدمی نمبر ایک کھانے پینے اور یوں ہی جیماع سے, نمبر دو پورے دن میں, اور نمبر تین نیت کے ساتھ بچا رہے. جب یہ تین چیزیں موجود ہوں گی تو ہم یہ کہیں گے کہ اس آدمی نے روزہ رکھا ہے. اگر ان تین باتوں میں سے کسی ایک بات میں کچھ نہ کچھ کمی آ جائے گی تو ہم یہ کہیں گے کہ جتنی کمی ان تین باتوں میں سے ہوئی تو اس کا روزہ بھی اتنا ہی کمی والا ہوگا. یہ جو ہم زندگی گزار رہے ہیں یہ بھی حقیقت میں ایک روزہ ہی ہے. اس میں بھی اللہ تعالی ہم سے وہی تین چیزیں معلوم, وہی تین چیزیں دیکھنا چاہ رہے ہیں. نمبر ایک یہ کہ ہم پرہیز کریں. کس سے؟ اللہ تعالی کی نافرمانی سے. صرف ایک یا دو دنوں کے لیے نہیں, بلکہ اپنی مکمل زندگی کے لیے. اور نمبر تین, اس کے ساتھ ساتھ ہماری نیت بھی یہ ہونی چاہیے کہ ہم پرہیز کر رہے ہیں گناہ سے آخرت کے لیے, اللہ تعالیٰ کی خوشنودی کے لیے. یہ نہیں کہ ہم کسی دنیاوی غرض سے یا ہم ایک نام کو کمانے کے لیے اس دنیاوی زندگی میں پرہیزگاری کو اختیار کر رہے ہیں. اگر ہم نے دنیاوی روزہ رکھا تو پھر ہمیں بھی ایک خوشی ملے گی جب ہماری افطار کا وقت آئے گا. اور ہماری افطار کا وقت وہ ہماری موت کا وقت ہے. موت کے وقت میں اللہ تعالی ہمیں ایسی خوشی نصیب فرمائیں گے کہ ایسی خوشی ہم نے کبھی بھی محسوس نہیں کی ہوگی. اور یہی وجہ ہے کہ نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا ہے, تحفۃ المؤمن الموت. مؤمن کا تحفہ موت ہے. مؤمن کا تحفہ موت کیوں؟ اس لیے کہ ہم ہمیشہ یہ دعا تو پڑھتے ہیں, اللہم اعنا علی غمرات الموت و سکرات الموت. اے اللہ تعالی, جب سکرات کا وقت آئے, جب مشکلات کا وقت آئے دنیا سے جانے کے وقت, تو اس وقت ہماری مدد کیجئے گا. وہ تو ایک دشواری کا وقت ہے, وہ تو ایک سختی کا وقت ہے, لیکن اس کے باوجود نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا ہے کہ وہ وقت ایک حقیقی مؤمن کے لیے تحفہ ہوگا, گفٹ ہوگا. کیوں؟ اس لیے کہ آدمی اپنی پرہیزگاری والی زندگی سے اس وقت افطار کرے گا, اور افطار کے وقت آدمی کو بہت زیادہ خوشی ملتی ہے. Now we move on to the topic of discussion which relates to music. In this day and age, once it comes to the ruling of music, we've got many a people who mention various things. You'll find some from amongst the Muslim circle who will say that there's no problem with listening to music. It's not a form of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to try to prove this point of theirs, they will try to mention certain Islamic concepts, which many youngsters also fall prey to. Then the second issue we have is of those Muslims who say that we understand it's prohibited. We understand that being Muslims, we cannot listen to music. But why does Islam say we cannot listen to music? It's a little bit of fun. We're releasing a little bit of stress. We're just passing a little bit of time. So why can we not listen to music? It's only the matter of a few instruments. There's nothing more than that. It's a little entertainment during this worldly life for ourselves. And in apparent, we cannot see any harms to it. Rather, we can see certain benefits to it. So first we need to understand that those people who claim that music is not prohibited within Islam do so because according to their understanding, number one, there is no clear-cut verse of the glorious Quran which makes mention of the prohibition of music. And number two, due to according to their understanding, the prohibition of music not being mentioned explicitly within the glorious Quran, we won't look towards the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. Why? Because deen in actual fact is that which the Quran mentions before ourselves. If the ahadith make mention of something which come in line with the glorious Quran, then we accept. And if the ahadith make mention of something which may seem foreign to the glorious Quran, which may seem somewhat alien to the glorious Quran, then we will leave aside those ahadith. Why? Because the Quran is the main source of gaining Islamic information. My brothers, remember this point. Allah Ta'ala never only revealed the wording of the glorious Quran upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala, alongside the wording of the glorious Quran, revealed the meaning, the interpretation of the glorious Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this day and age, we have many a people, they will present to us a verse of the glorious Quran, i.e. the wording, and once it comes to the meaning, they will take the meaning from an individual in this day and age. They will mention the meaning of that wording of the glorious Quran from their own whims and desires. We've got certain people who say that Quran ki ayat to madani hogi, lekin hum maana qadiyan wala pesh karenge. Some people say that we'll take the wording of the glorious Quran which was revealed in Madinatul Munawwara, but once it comes to the meaning of that verse of the glorious Quran, we are going to resort towards qadiyan. اور لوگ یہ کہتے ہیں کہ ٹھیک ہم الفاظ تو مدینہ والے پیش کریں گے لیکن ہم معنی کسی اور لوکیشن کا پیش کریں گے. My brothers, remember, our belief is that we don't only take the wording of the glorious Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also take the meaning of the glorious Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who claim otherwise in reality are trying to claim, or they are of the notion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a messenger of Allah Ta'ala, but he was a deficient messenger, he was not a perfect messenger. Let me explain this to yourselves. In this day and age, if we want to take an example of a messenger, just to make things relevant, we can take the example of a postman. Why, a messenger refers to an individual who takes a message from one place and he passes it on to another place. He takes it from one individual and he portrays it to another individual. So we'll take the example of a postman. If a postman has been given a packaging, and within that packaging he also has some content, if this postman only takes the packaging but leaves the content of the packaging behind, and only delivers the packaging, not the content, everyone will say, he is a postman but he is a deficient postman. He is a messenger but he is a deficient messenger. He will only be termed a perfect postman. He will only be termed a perfect messenger once he takes the entire package with its content he received from individual number A and then passes it on in the exact same manner to individual number B. In a similar manner, once it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never only received the wording of the glorious Quran from Allah Ta'ala, he also received the meaning of the glorious Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we then say that we only take the wording of the Quran of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we take the meaning from elsewhere, this has either of two possibilities. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either never received the meaning from Allah Ta'ala of the wording of the glorious Quran. This is incorrect, as I will very soon explain. Or number two, he received the meaning alongside the wording from Allah Ta'ala, but once it came to his propagation, he only propagated the wording, he never propagated the meaning. We say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought the wording and also the meaning of the glorious Quran, and in his propagation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed on each one of the two aspects of the glorious Quran to ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Qiyamah in the 29th juz, "Inna alayna jam'ahu wa Qur'ana," that it's not only part of our responsibility that we gather the glorious Quran within your blessed chest and we make you recite the glorious Quran. Thumma inna alayna bayanahu, expounding upon the wording of the glorious Quran, elaborating, commentating, interpreting the wording of the glorious Quran is also part of our responsibility. What will we then say? That na'udhu billah, Allah Ta'ala took up this responsibility of granting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the explanation of the glorious Quran, but Allah Ta'ala was unable to fulfill this responsibility despite being inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, able with regards to everything. Allah Ta'ala took the responsibility of commentating upon the glorious Quran, and Allah Ta'ala is the all able, due to which we cannot say Allah Ta'ala was deficient in this regard, nor can we say na'udhu billah, Allah Ta'ala took the responsibility but he never fulfilled the responsibility. Why? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. There's no one who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, in this day and age we find many, many people, they try to take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of the picture of Islam. They say, once it comes to these ahadith, then leave these ahadith aside. Why? The Quran is sufficient. My brothers, remember this wording of mine. We cannot believe in the glorious Quran until we accept the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People present these arguments before us in such a manner, due to ourselves not being well acquainted with, well familiarized and well connected with the learned ulama, many of our youngsters fall prey to such matters. They say that if the glorious Quran was sufficient, then why would you need the ahadith? You need the ahadith, does this mean the glorious Quran is insufficient? We say this is totally incorrect. Why? Because the glorious Quran itself makes mention that this commentary of the glorious Quran, Allah Ta'ala himself took a responsibility of, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, will be found in the form of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sual to hai na, sual to ye hai, کہ اے اللہ تعالی آپ تو ایک کتاب کسی پہاڑی پر اتار سکتے تھے، آپ قرآن الکریم مکہ المکرمہ کے بیت اللہ میں اتار سکتے تھے، لیکن آپ نے یہ قرآن بالخصوص ایک انسان نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر کیوں نازل فرمایا ہے؟ اللہ تعالیٰ could have revealed the glorious Quran upon a mountaintop. Allah Ta'ala could have revealed the glorious Quran within the Ka'batullah in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Allah Ta'ala didn't do so. Allah Ta'ala revealed the glorious Quran upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question is, O Allah Ta'ala, a wise person within this worldly life, when he has two options and he opts for one over the other, he only does due to a reasonable reason. O Allah Ta'ala, you are the all-wise. Your wisdom has been distributed amongst the creation, which is so great. Imagine how great your wisdom is. When you had two options before yourself, what made you opt for one option over the other? Allah Ta'ala answers this in the glorious Quran. And my brothers, remember, هَذَا كِتَابُنَا يَنْطِقُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. This glorious Quran is talking to every single one of us, not only upon a communal level, rather it is talking to every single one of us upon an individual level. Normally people come to me and they ask that, Saifuddin, I've got this problem. I say the reality is, you can open up the Quran, whichever verse you've come across, for the first time, that verse will mention an answer to your personal problem to yourself. The Quran in reality is full of solutions, my brothers. The only problem is that the deficiency is not on the side of the glorious Quran. The deficiency is on our side. بعض لوگ تو یہ کہتے ہیں کہ قرآن سے ہمیں ہدایت نہیں مل رہی تو کیا قرآن میں کچھ کمی نہیں؟ Many non-Muslims say that if the Quran was a beacon of light, if the Quran was the fountain of guidance, then why do we find many a people in the world who haven't gained guidance through the glorious Quran? I say, if we've got a tap which has been opened and the water is flowing nice and smoothly, will everyone automatically find that water to come into the mouth and they'll digest it and it will become a means of their physical nourishment? The answer is no. If a person, despite the tap being open, is not receiving water, he's not benefiting from the water, it's because he's not gone to the tap and he's not opened his mouth in a manner the water can come into his mouth. Quran to waha sab ke liye maujood hai, hudan lin nas, ye sirf mu'mino ke liye hidayat nahi, ye sirf hudan lil muttaqin, muttaqoon ke liye hidayat nahi, ye to tamam insaniyat ke liye hidayat ka sabab hai. لیکن ہدل للمتقین پھر کیوں کہا گیا؟ One is who the Quran can benefit and one is who the Quran will benefit. Very important. Some people say in one verse of the glorious Quran there's a mention the Quran is a guidance for the entire humanity. ہدل للناس. In another verse there's a mention ہدل للمتقین, the Quran is a guidance for those who are God conscious. So who is it really a guidance for? We say understand the difference. ہدل للناس, the Quran can become a means of guidance for everyone. And hudal lil muttaqin, the Quran does become a means of guidance for those who are God conscious. Ek aadmi ho, uske samne tooti khuli hui ho, pani nikal raha ho, lekin usko ye ihsaas hai hi nahi ke waha ek tooti hai aur waha se pani nikal raha hai, to wo usse faida kaise uthayega? Allah Ta'ala ka kalam hamare mabain maujood hai, ہم اسے فائدہ اٹھا سکتے ہیں، لیکن اگر کوئی آدمی اپنے حس کو اس حد تک کھو بیٹھا ہو کہ اسے معلوم ہے ہی نہیں کہ خدا ہے، اسے معلوم ہے ہی نہیں کہ خدا کا کلام ہے، اس کو معلوم ہے ہی نہیں کہ اس میں ہدایت کا سبب ہے، تو قرآن کے ہوتے ہوئے بھی وہ قرآن سے ہدایت کیسے حاصل کرے گا؟ اللہ تعالیٰ answers this question that I could have revealed the Quran upon a mountaintop. I could have revealed the glorious Quran within my house, Ka'batullah. Despite that, I never. I opted for the option to reveal the glorious Quran upon the blessed heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah Ta'ala, why? You are the all-wise. When you opted for one out of the two options, there must be an amazing reason behind this. Allah Ta'ala answers, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ ذِكْرٍ. Listen aloud. We reveal the glorious Qur'an, not upon a mountaintop. We reveal the glorious Qur'an, not within the Ka'batullah, rather upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can elaborate upon the wording of the glorious Qur'an for the masses. اگر ہم نے قرآن کی تفسیر لینی ہے تو ہم نے نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے لینی ہے. کیوں؟ اس لیے کہ قرآن کے بیان کا ذمہ ثم ان علینا بیانہ اللہ نے اپنے اوپر لیا ہے, اور یہ بیان اللہ تعالی ہمیں کیسے عطا فرمائیں گے اسباب کی دنیا میں, وہ نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی زندگی کی روشنی میں. Why do we accept the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the commentary of the glorious Quran? Because Allah Ta'ala took the responsibility of elaborating upon the glorious Quran, and then He chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world of means in order for us to receive the commentary of the glorious Quran. This is the reason for why we say ke agar aapko Quran ki ayat kisi masale ke bare mein na mile تو فکر کی کیا بات ہے, قرآن کی کمنٹری کو دیکھو, قرآن کی تفسیر یعنی احادیث کو دیکھ لو, وہاں آپ کو جواب ضرور بضرور مل جائے گا. So those people who say that we accept the Quran but these احادیث, if we accept them it means the Quran is not sufficient, and if we only take the Quran and we take the Quran to be sufficient, there's no need to look towards the احادیث. We say your belief in the glorious Quran is corrupt within itself. And my brothers, the reality is, do you know all those major rulings we find within the Sharia, we do find the roots of them in the glorious Quran. Ye ho hi nahi sakta ke matan mein wo baat maujood na ho jo hame sharah mein mile. It's not possible to not find that thing within the actual text which has been mentioned within the commentary of a text. Bas nigah nigah ka farq hai. This is the reality. Once it comes to our physical eyesight, then some people's eyesight is limited in comparison to others. Some people can see very far. Some people cannot see very far. Why? It all depends upon the health of the physical eye. Once it comes to our spiritual eye of the heart, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the glorious Quran, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. The gazes are not blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Rather, it's the eyes within the hearts which are unable to visualize what is before themselves. یہ بصارت کی کمی نہیں, یہ بصیرت کی کمی ہے. It's not a lacking of our physical sight, it's a lacking within our spiritual sight. Those who have a physical healthy eye, they can see further than those who have an unhealthy physical eye. Those who have a spiritual healthy eye, they can see that in the glorious Quran which those people cannot see who don't have a spiritually healthy eye. یہاں تک کہ میں آپ کو بتا دوں, آج کل کے زمانے میں لوگ یہ بحث چھیڑتے ہیں کہ ارتداد کی سزا قتل ہے, یہ قرآن میں ہے ہی نہیں, ہم اس بارے میں جو احادیث ہے ہم ان کو تسلیم کرتے ہیں ہی نہیں. میں یہ کہتا ہوں کہ اگر اللہ تعالی نے آپ کو صحیح اسپریچول آنکھ دی ہوتی تو آپ کو مرتد کی سزا قرآن ہی میں مل جاتی. I say to people, they claim that we cannot find the punishment for apostasy of being death in the glorious Quran. I say, if you can't find it, remember, Allah Ta'ala has granted certain people spiritual healthy eyes who will show you the punishment of the apostasy to be death from the glorious Quran itself. تو اگر حدیث میوزک کی حرمت کے بارے میں ہوتی لیکن قرآن کی آیت نہ ہوتی تب بھی کیا مسئلہ ہوتا؟ اس مسلمان کو بلاؤ اور اس کی دعوت کرو, دعوت افطار کے وقت, اور وہ یہ پوچھے کہ ہم کیا کھائیں گے, آپ کو ہم آپ کو ایسی چیز کھلائیں گے جو کلیتاً حلال ہے, آپ بے فکر ہو جاؤ. وہ پہنچے نا تو روسٹڈ کتا آپ اس کے سامنے پیش کر دو, روسٹڈ کتا. ہو کہ کیا ہو رہا ہے, آپ کو ہو کہ قرآن میں آپ کتے کی حرمت تو دکھاؤ تو صحیح. قرآن حرمت علیکم المیتۃ والدم ولحم الخنزیر, خنزیر کی گوشت کی حرمت تو قرآن میں ہے, کتے کے گوشت کی حرمت قرآن میں کہا ہے. تو اگر آپ کو قرآن ہی لینا تھا, احادیث نہیں لینی تھی, تو آپ ہماری دعوت میں آ جاؤ, ہم اپنے لیے ایک نائس بھنا ہوا روسٹڈ چکن رکھ دیں گے, اور آپ کے لیے انشاءاللہ تعالی زبردست بھنا ہوا کتا رکھ دیں گے. وہ نہیں کھائے گا. کیوں؟ اس لیے کہ اسے معلوم ہے کہ ہم یہ چیز کھا ہی نہیں سکتے اگرچہ اس کا تذکرہ قرآن میں موجود نہیں. لیکن میں آپ کو یہ بتا دوں, لفظ کتے کے گوشت کی حرمت پر قرآن میں موجود نہیں, لیکن اس کی طرف اشارہ تو قرآن میں موجود ہے. یہ وہی آنکھ آنکھ کی بات ہے. If an individual says, I only follow the Quran, brother, these ahadith, no, leave them aside. Why? Because if I take the ahadith on board, it means the Quran is no longer sufficient. Say, no problem, brother. I call you for an iftar party at my home today. So he must be really happy that, why, farhatun inda al-iftar, I'm going to rejoice at the time of iftar. What am I going to eat? Say, I'm going to have you a really, really nice meal. So roast a dog for him. Put it on the side, and when he comes, put it before him and say, khao hazrat, eat. Is he ever going to eat that? Say, khao yaar, aapko kya eat from it. Why? Because the prohibition of consuming the meat of dogs is present in the Quran. Have a nice meal, he won't. Remember, even though the wording of the prohibition of consuming dog meat isn't present in the Quran, there's still indications for those people who have a healthy spiritual eye. When Allah Ta'ala mentions lahmul khinzir, the prohibition of the consumption of the meat of pigs, Allah Ta'ala has given an indication that the reason for why it is prohibited to consume the meat of pigs is because it is najis. When that same najasa impurity is found in any other animal, it will also be prohibited to consume the meat of that. In another verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions, يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. That which an individual's nature, temperament dislikes, it doesn't readily accept, that is also prohibited. A pig doesn't only come in this, a dog also comes in this. Toh yeh baat yaad rakho. Even if it wasn't in the Quran, the hadith for us is a commentary for the glorious Quran, we take it on board. But remember, all the major rulings in our Sharia, the roots of them can be found in the Quran. Why? The Quran is the text and the ahadith are a commentary of that text. Ab suno Quran ki ayat. In the glorious Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمِ. From amongst the masses, there are those who purchase, there are those who adopt idle talk in order to deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question now is that idle talk is a term, is a word which can refer to many things. It's not got one particular meaning. Why? Because many things can come under the banner of idle talk. What meaning do we take of idle talk? Remember, another very important point. We can't only take the literal meaning of the glorious Quran on board. Why? If we do so, it's possible we misunderstand the glorious Quran. Why? Those companions within whom the glorious Quran was revealed, when they tried to solely rely upon the literal meaning of the glorious Quran, the Prophet ﷺ explained to them that the literal meaning of the glorious Quran isn't necessarily the intended meaning. The intent of Allah Ta'ala, I will explain to yourselves through my blessed statements, in reality is the meaning of the Quran you are to take on board. Kulu washrabu حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر. There's a mention of when an individual can eat to when he intends to fast. The ruling initially was Allah Ta'ala so kind. Wallah, my brothers, I cannot explain to you how kind of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity. Aw jannat kamalo, aw jannat kamalo. One Ramadan comes, it goes. Another Ramadan comes and it goes. But remember, a time will come when no more Ramadans will remain. We will have to stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Hame pooch hogi ki humne aapko 2022 ka Ramadan diya tha. Aapne faida usse uthaya tha ya nahi? And how wretched can we be to stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala that day and say that you give us the perfect ground but we still never utilized it. The ruling with regards to when an individual can eat till, Allah Ta'ala mentions, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا, eat and drink, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ. Brothers are requested to move forwards, please. On the left side of the hall, there's plenty of space, mashallah. Plenty of space. Also, make sure you sit in the place the brother's standing as well and calling you. There's plenty of space. When can you eat till, drink till? حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of الخيط الأبيض, a white thread, and الخيط الأسود, a black thread. When a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he thought, you know what, let me go home and let me go into this investigation. So he took a white thread, he took a black thread, he put it under his pillow, he woke up and he thought, yeah, this doesn't even make sense, what's happening here? He couldn't make any sense of this, so he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him that not the literal meaning, it's the meaning I'm going to explain to you. Why? Because I've got the commentary of the glorious Quran. As many examples I can give you, in my life within itself, I've come across so many Arab brothers in Arab countries. They say that we understand the Arabic language, why do we need to look towards the commentary of the glorious Quran? They fall into many, many, many problems, including rejecting the glorious Quran eventually. Idle talk, what does this idle talk refer to? Now understand, I'm going to finish off very soon. We'll carry and continue some, maybe in the next life, we'll see. Yes, so understand this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present. The glorious Quran is being revealed upon him. He receives the wording of the glorious Quran. When he mentions the meaning of the wording of the glorious Quran, who's around him? The companions alayhim ar-radwan. That's why this group is so important. Allah Ta'ala doesn't only mention Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam once he comes to Rasulullah, his messengership. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. The messengership of the Prophet for the Ummah cannot be complete until وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, the companions are included within it. Is baat ko samjho? You know, we can only say a verse is the verse of the glorious Quran when the Prophet informs us. And we can only say a statement is a prophetic statement once the companions inform us. Quran ki tabliq us waqt tak mukammal rahi jab tak nabiye paak ko tasneem karo. Ahadith ki tabliq us waqt tak mukammal rahi jab tak ashabe nabi ko qabool karo. My brothers, remember this. Until we don't accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we cannot become recipients of the glorious Quran. Why? Because he bore witness to the revelation of the Quran as it was revealed upon him. And until we don't accept the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we cannot become recipients of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, i.e. the commentary of the glorious Quran. They bore witness to revelation and they transmitted to us the commentary of the glorious Quran the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention of. And this is why Imam Hakim, a very, very famous muhaddith, he mentions regarding Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima that according to their understanding, عند الشيخين, إن التفسير الصحابي الذي شهد الوحي والتنزيل, the commentary, the elaboration of the glorious Quran of a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who bear testimony to the glorious Quran being revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, innahu hadithun musnadun, this in reality is something they have directly heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We look towards Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. I'm only mentioning three major companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whereas the reality is, jumhurul ulama, the majority of the ulama are of the opinion that idle talk, which has been mentioned to be prohibited within this verse of the glorious Quran, refers to music. Now inshaAllah ta'ala, in the next talk, whenever it is, I'm going to explain to you. Do you know when we say ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, it should make our body shake. You understand with Ibn Abbas, he was a companion, young companion of the Prophet. No, my brothers, that's not the reality. And this is what I normally mention. At certain times, despite being junior in age, certain people are senior in knowledge. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was he? What was his caliber? Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. InshaAllah ta'ala, we'll continue with this some other time. May Allah ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the glorious Quran in light of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allah. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله